Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Prime time on Football Friday, 1080 The Fan.
Professional football in America is a special game, a unique game, played nowhere else on earth. It is a rare game. The men who play it make it so.
This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Suk.
Brought to you by the ALNA Sportsbook. Watch the games in the region's largest video wall and wager on your team at the ALNA Sportsbook.
That's going to make the fucking difference between winning and losing.
On 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back. Hope you're having a nice little Friday. A little rainy out here, here today. It's not good. I don't like rain.
No, rain's no good.
But,
I got caught.
Well, there is no but.
No, I got caught walking the dogs in it today.
Look, it's wet.
Yeah, sucks. At least it wasn't like a downpour. It was more of a sprinkle.
Oh, here's your butt.
What's my butt?
At least we have Joey Harrington next.
There
hour.
There you go. Joey will spread some sunshine on this.
So he, I think, was... I saw something about him playing piano at some big Oregon recruiting to-do.
I think he hosted the... they do it. I think it's out at Nike. I don't know. Maybe it's down at the facility in Eugene. But they do a big... They do it every year. They do a big... They do a big recruiting dinner event sort of thing, and they bring everyone back. And DeAnthony Thomas was wearing some sort of weird Native American smock. Bunch of the old guys came back, and yeah, I think Joey was hosting it.
Well, I'll be asking him about that.
Yeah. You were not invited.
Inside recruiting info from Joey Harrington.
You not welcome.
He loves recruiting. He and I are on the same page on that.
I don't know if there's two. Well, Cam hated recruiting more than you did.
Yeah.
Yeah. He would.
Well, recruiting is dumb, but I get why people are into it. Well, I mean, it's dumb. It's not dumb. It's just, it's the lifeblood of the programs. I get it.
You have to do it.
Of course, but it's just so stupid to anoint 17-year-old kids, and they do all the, down to my final 11, and
I know.
I'm going to put this hat on, and, oh, no, just kidding, psych! It's just so, it's absurd.
It does feel like this, and this is saying something, in all of sports, that may be the silliest procedure, whatever you want to call it. It's the silliest thing that happens in sports, and sports is full of self-promotion and douchebaggery, but God, to see 16, 17-year-old kids and they're making music videos now and they're doing bits, it's a whole lot for a lot of the kids that will be gone from their school in a year and a half. And
yeah, I saw a stat. They said that of the top 50 quarterbacks
each year
from 2017 to 2022, 75% of them ended up transferring.
Yeah.
75%.
Well, I mean, I played way before the portal, but I remember this when my recruiting class at BYU was supposed to be their biggest one ever. Like, it was a big, not like I was a big part of that, but we got a couple big name kids, including supposedly with a number two or three quarterback in the country, this kid by the name of Drew Miller. He was up in Seattle and broke a bunch of national records, and he was like the balls. Could have gone anywhere he wanted, and he came to our place for some reason. 2 years later, he was playing at Montana. And Drew was a nice guy, but, you know, like, I remember that whole class came in, and we had all these kids that everyone was like, oh, my God, did you see this and this kid, that kid? I think when it was all said and done, I think two of us made it through our time at BYU. So a class of 24, 25 kids.
Wow.
Supposedly the best ever. It was me and one other guy that actually made it through to where we graduated or, you know, just finished our time. And I always think about that. This was before the portal, you know, before all that, when you had to sit out and transfer and all that. So even back then, you know, there are no guarantees and crap. And like three or four kids that made it supposedly the best recruiting class ever, you know, Drew being one of them, none of them stayed. None of them. We had some running back that was the freshman of the year, and he transferred or got heaved after a year or two. The receiver that Drew brought in, he was gone. And then we had some tight end from Oregon that was supposed to be the end all to be all. He got his ass kicked as a freshman, beat up in a fist fight, pouted, and I think he just left the program. And he was an Oregon
kid. So do you think with like NIL now and all the transfer portal stuff that recruiting rankings will become – like less and less.
Well, now what they're doing
reliable.
Is they're adding in the portal rankings to it. So
it's an overall ranking.
It's an overall ranking. In fact, I think Oregon had the eighth best recruiting class, and I think composite with everything, I think they were like between ninth and 12th because of the transfers. So they're adding that into your classes now. Okay. It's just becoming another part. They have portal rankings.
Like, well, I don't mind that.
Yeah,
that doesn't bother me because we know the caliber of player. Like, we've seen the player actually play college football.
Yes.
Right? This Birch guy that they got, I don't know, the Ducks.
The kid can play.
We know he can play.
100%.
As opposed to some, well, let's put 5 stars on this kid and he sucks. Yep. I mean, that doesn't happen often, but
it happens.
You know what I mean.
Sure.
So I'm okay with transfer portal rankings. I get that.
Yeah.
But the recruiting rankings, it's just.
Yeah.
It's kind of a little much.
It's tough. But we do know, and this is the crappy part, is we do know that if you don't have a recruiting class that's in the top 10 or 12, you're not winning a national championship. We do know that.
Well, but that's because, I think that's also flawed. Because while that's true, that's because all of the best kids, the one thing about recruiting that we do know is that we know who the best players are.
Yes.
Generally speaking. So the 5-star kids are the difference maker kids.
Mm-hmm.
And they're always going to the 1 through 10 because it's like a chicken and the egg thing.
Yeah, they want to win national championships.
Well, that or they just like because those players went to those schools, they are then ranked 1 through 10 or 1 through 12. Yep. So it's just really kind of, I don't know, it's predictable. But then once you get past that, some 4 stars or even now you're in 3 stars.
Yeah.
Dude, good luck. How do you even guess?
I don't think you
just
do.
Let a kid get on campus, let a coach get his hands on him and see what happens.
Well, the crappy part is now for those kids, you got to pay them. I mean, so it's, I guess that's not crappy. It's good for
the
kids.
That's fine. I don't have a problem.
But yeah, now it's even more convoluted though, because not only are you, having to recruit players, but now you got to pay them and decide who you want to pay. I mean, there's a report that Alabama gave the finger to two kids because they wanted a combined, I think they wanted a combined $250,000, and one of them wanted his girlfriend to go to Alabama Law School and wanted the school to pay for it. And I guess Nick Saban lost it. This is where we're at now. The kid's like, hey, I want to stay. I want to come here, but it's going to cost me, I want $100,000. I want my girlfriend to get into Alabama Law School, and I want you to pay for it. Mm. I mean, this is the sort of.
And he said no.
Yeah, Saban said no.
Good for him.
I guess he told the two kids. And by the way, then he went out and got 9 5-star kids. So.
Well, yeah, he's Nick Saban. He can go replace. Yeah. That kid's an idiot for sitting down with Nick Saban and have the balls to ask that. Now, it's one thing if you're like the number one recruit in the country.
Yeah.
It's another if you're that kid.
I would have liked to have been there in the room when he asked Saban. I would have liked to seen that reaction with old Nicky.
Oh, he probably, at the time, he's like, oh, we'll see what we can do, young man.
And then he shuts the doors.
Then he just totally ghosts the kid.
I do appreciate the get my girlfriend into law school.
Yeah, nice guy.
Oh,
helping her out.
By the way, I'd like you to pay for that. I hope that works out for the kid. I hope he found a school that's willing to put his girlfriend into law school, and then the kid's got it made. Sugar mama.
I'm going to punt on that women's coach story.
Yeah.
I'll just tell you real quick about it, and then we'll move on to the NFL officiating because we're running out of time. We got to get to In the News. Your noted newsman is fired up here.
Yeah.
But I saw a clip from the Duke women's coach.
Okay. Basketball?
Yeah. Kara Lawson, I think.
Mm-hmm.
who was livid
over what?
That they used a men's ball for the first half of her game against Florida State.
Oh.
She was livid about it.
Well, why did they have a men's ball? Was anyone not a...
Somebody screwed up.
Okay, like, they just
maybe it's an officiating thing. And she was pissed about that. She's like, this cannot happen. And she just went off. Like, you know how coaches go off? They just get on their high and mighty soapbox. And
sure.
It's really... The college basketball... What we allow college basketball coaches to do, like, they can throw absolute fits on the sideline, and they do.
Yes.
To the point of other coaches holding them back.
All because of that?
No, I'm saying they can, coaches, I don't know. I hate how we let college basketball coaches act.
Sure.
They're all a bunch of bullies.
100%.
And this woman was acting like that. And I was sitting there going, well, who, first of all, both teams played with the ball.
Yeah.
So is it really that big of a deal if they didn't notice it?
That's the weird one is,
why? I just didn't understand why she was so pissed about it. It's like she was just being a college basketball coach just to be an a-hole.
Although I do want to see, like, I want to see Jim Calhoun if they had to play with a women's ball and someone found out about it. My guess is that Jim Calhoun would also freak out. To your point of college coaches are terrible.
Calm down. Yeah. God. Both of them figured it out at halftime. They switched back. Both of them played with the same ball, and they didn't notice. So why are you so pissed? I don't know. Anyway, who cares about that? I've got leftover NFL officiating stories from championship weekend. We have three things we did not cover. Okay?
Okay.
JC babes, you ready for this?
I'm ready. I'm still thinking about the whole basketball thing.
Do you want to? Hey,
watching the coach lose it.
Jordan, maybe see if you can find that audio.
She just, I kind of want to hear her freak out.
Now,
I really do.
Now you want to.
I want to hear her.
Because it's so disproportionate to what happened. It's like.
I'll admit something. I think it's hilarious.
Her name's Kara Lawson.
I think it's hilarious when college coaches freak out over very much.
Well, that's
things.
What I'm saying. Like we let these college coaches act like such buffoons,
but then they demand the utmost.
That's right.
This is why I hate Bobby Knight so much. They demand respect and accountability and all this discipline from everyone but themselves. Everyone around them has to mind their P's and Q's, but they get to be the world's biggest douche.
Yeah, that somebody said it's obvious if you have held either ball, women's or men's, they practice with the women's ball every day. Yeah. Well, they went a whole half without replacing the ball.
And no one noticed.
So clearly no one noticed. Don't you think someone, if they would have noticed, they would have replaced the ball?
So I said, how did no one notice?
Exactly.
Thousands of shots a day and no one noticed.
100%. Yeah. So doesn't that lead you to believe that
it's not that big a deal? If so, both played with it. Did Duke lose, by the way?
I don't know. Who cares? I have no idea.
I only wish it was that the LSU coach, that Kim
Mulkey.
Because let me tell you something. She gets my vote for quite possibly the worst human being in sports ever.
All right. We'll get to some NFL officiating items as well coming up next on The Fan.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
Brought to you by the Alien-A Sportsbook.
On 1080 The Fan.
All right, so Jordan has the Kara Lawson audio. This is the Duke women's basketball coach who is, to me, and I am open to the idea I'm out to lunch on this, but to me, she is disproportionately upset about a men's ball being used in the first half of their game between Duke and Florida State. Here's what it sounds
like. This would never happen in a men's game. This would never happen. This just wouldn't happen. And it's embarrassing for our sport. And to have a game that at the end of the season could be the difference between a seed, between a title, my players don't deserve that, and neither do their players. It's a complete failure. And you can figure out who the people I'm talking about that failed. The sport and our players and both teams.
So
she
was pissed.
She's pissed. I mean,
and I don't really get...
I'm going to recuse myself from this because
there's something going on. Is she talking about the officials?
I don't know.
By the way, they lost.
They lost.
Duke lost.
But they played with the same ball. I'm not a women's athlete. I don't know what it's like to I don't know what it's like. I don't know what it's like to be marginalized. So maybe I'm missing something.
So maybe she's just pissed that it...
It seems to me she's less pissed about the fact that it impacted the game. It's more, I think it sounds like she's saying that it's just disrespectful of the whole sport.
Yeah.
As opposed to, I don't know, it kind of sounds like an honest mistake.
Right.
An honest mistake that no one, including your players and you...
Exactly.
Now, I'll give her this. If before the start of the game, the tip-off happens, and my point guard comes to me and says, hey, something's right, or something's not right, this is wrong... And you go to the official and say, hey, this is a men's ball. And he says, well, you're going to have to play with it until we figure something out. Then you have every right to be livid.
Yeah.
But if a mistake is made, and granted, it seems like a bad one, like you would think that you'd be able to notice that, but I haven't shot a women's basketball in, God, I don't know how long. So, but the fact that no one noticed it, and it was an honest mistake, and that it was corrected, and no one noticed it, including your players, I kind of feel like, yeah, you should be upset, but it's more like... You know, say, hey, this shouldn't happen, but you live and learn, and we need to be better about this. But to freak out and try to make it as some sort of indictment on, like, it's the worst thing that ever happened in sports, and it's a slap in the face of women everywhere. I don't get that, but at the same time, again, not a women's player, so I need to hear from like a women's basketball coach or a women's basketball player, and because maybe it's a sensitive subject that I'm missing.
Yeah, well, I tend to agree with you. I don't know why she's so pissed, because it's not like one team had an advantage.
No.
You know, they both played with it. Nobody noticed it. So she played the game under appeal.
Okay.
And the ACC denied her.
Because there was no advantage.
Because they said that players have to confirm the correct size of the ball before tip-off, and neither of them did.
Well, then, that's like, I was a center, so I handled a lot of balls in my time. It's what I did. And if you set me out there and I fumbled the ball, and then like in the middle of the second quarter on my seventh possession, and then someone told me that it was NFL ball, because the NFL ball is slicker, it's a bigger ball, could I literally go and be like, this is outrageous, I was being if I didn't notice it and the other side had to play with it too, then I didn't fumble because the ball was bigger, I fumbled because I fumbled the damn ball.
Did you ever have a ball that felt weird?
Yeah, all the time. Yeah. And you would try to get rid of it.
Yeah, you try to pitch it out of there.
Yeah, yeah. I would literally go, and quarterbacks did the same thing. Like, before games, you pick the balls that you like.
Yeah.
But there are certainly those where quarterbacks more so than me, I didn't really have that sort of say. But absolutely, there were times where I was like, dude, I don't like this one. And I'd do it to the quarterback, and I'd be like, hey, you? And if we didn't like it, yeah, you got rid of it. But the fact that no one, like, hey, is this, because they confirm it. I think they hand it to both teams, and it's like, yeah, this is good. All right, let's go.
So a lot of people are texting in that, it seems impossible that they wouldn't realize the difference. So maybe that's why she's pissed.
But it did. It,
well, but wait, maybe that's why she's pissed, because they did know it was the wrong size ball and they didn't change it until halftime. Maybe that's what it is. Well, I don't know that that's true, but
if that's true, then she has every right.
That's maybe, that might explain it.
But I find that almost impossible to believe.
Right?
That
you got ball.
You got balls.
You got balls there, right?
Yes. Both
teams have their own.
It is absurd for me to think, because everyone's like, how could you possibly not know? That's one thing. To me, it's almost impossible to think that you went to an official and said, hey, this isn't a women's ball. And the official said, whatever, keep playing. No, no. And the idea that you would have, like, there's no women's balls anywhere in that arena, bull crap.
Right. They had them by halftime.
Exactly. So. I call horse news. I just think people didn't notice.
Or maybe they brought over, you know, like for women's games, I don't know, maybe they brought over the wrong rack. Like the trainer brought the wrong rack and they had to go fetch the women's balls.
Yeah.
You know?
It's...
I don't know. All right.
either way, this is outrageous!
I spent entirely too much time on
this. Ah!
So three leftover NFL officiating items. One was very simple, but you were lamenting the idea of a, what do you call it, sensor in the ball?
Yes.
In football? A couple weeks ago when we were talking about this?
Well, it's a lot more complicated than what...
Well, somebody mentioned that there was a sensor in the ball.
There is.
Yeah. So how is it that they cannot confirm if the ball hit a wire on that punt?
Well, the sensor doesn't do that.
Well, but it could.
How?
Well, I don't know. It's a sensor. It's the it's just like the tennis line.
No.
Why not?
It has nothing to do with that. So...
What are you, like a scientist or something?
I did. I went and when they said that there was a sensor in the NFL ball,
yeah,
I got intrigued by
this. What? Okay, so what is?
So I did some digging into I did some sensor digging, and it turns out the NFL for the last couple of years has had a sensor in the ball.
Boom,
and it measures. You know, speed and things like that, like where the ball's traveling and whatnot, like how fast a player's running. It's how they do like those next gen stats, right?
Okay.
But it cannot, it's not triangulated enough to like with the, I'm trying to have best way to put it. It can't tell you when someone's down or not, obviously, because that involves like knees and different things like that. Even the goal line, like did it cross the goal line in time and like GPS positioning, you'd have to have something like that. The USFL and some of the other leagues, or it might have been that Alliance of American Football League, they did put a sensor in the ball that can do all that. Mm-hmm. The one that everyone wants.
But this one's not the same.
It was too heavy and it screwed up the ball and everyone hated it and you couldn't have it. So they got rid of it. And so it's never that sensor technology supposedly right now does not exist to have that the do all wonder chip. And so right now the only chip that is in the ball is just one that deals with how fast and how far it traveled.
So they really can't make a chip that is light enough that measures these things.
They haven't so far.
I don't know. That surprises me. Okay. Well, anyway, the remember the punt that hit the wire?
Yes, it hit the wire.
And the Eagles saw it hit the wire.
But no, there was no video that confirmed it hit the wire.
Which, that's another... It's like, how do they not have... They have video of everything in those stadiums, and yet they have no video of that ball hitting the wire.
No.
Fascinating.
Even though everyone seemed to believe it, but you can't go off of what you believe. You have to go off of what you see.
I know, but they should be able... It blows me away that they can't somehow... determine if a ball hit a wire.
I think the problem is that when a ball is punted, I don't think anyone follows the punt at the height of it.
They do in Dallas.
The scoreboard.
Yeah, because sometimes it hits the scoreboard.
I don't know. I assumed that they would come back with that, but supposedly there was no camera and the chip in the ball. Again, you couldn't do that. Like we don't have the ability to do it. There was a whole detailed thing about. If you set up enough cameras around and use GPS and timing of it, it was this big explanation on maybe one day how you could get there, but we're not there yet. So
get on it, NFL. Jesus.
I think that's why they're waiting for the other crappy leagues to deal with it.
The penalty on the Kansas City offensive lineman. Did you see that? I thought of you.
Which
the one where he was dancing.
Taunt?
Yeah. And they called it taunting on him.
Yeah. You can't do that.
That's a what? You can't do that?
Can't do
that's
that.
A horse crap call.
Well, you can't taunt. He got right in his face and did some sort of weird Buffalo Bill dance.
Yeah,
he did. He did like the arms out and he did some sort of shimmy at him.
I don't know. I think you got to swallow the whistle or put the flag up your butt on that one.
Well, allow me to say, as an O lineman, you should never shimmy anyways.
That's true.
Your arm shouldn't go out and you shouldn't do some sort of hip thrust.
It was a little cringy.
It was.
But I liked the fat guy celebrating. there's so many celebration things that are so dumb. Like when a guy, you know, let's say they're down 25 points and some guy makes a play and he does his little stupid celebratory dance.
Yeah.
Like, dude, you're an idiot. Yeah. You're down 25 points. Go back to the huddle, moron. You look foolish. Like, there's guys make themselves look stupid a lot.
All the time.
And I didn't think that was as bad as some other guys, and yet he was flagged for it.
Well,
I thought it was a little bit of offensive line bias there.
It doesn't get flagged unless he did it right at the guy. Like, he sought the guy out. Mm-hmm. If he does that walking down the field, that's not a flag. You get up in someone's grill and you start doing the DX crotch chop. Yeah, you know.
Fun police.
Yeah, it is the no fun.
It's lame.
League.
That stretch challenge, Chiefs Bengals.
That's one I honestly did not know.
Yeah.
I was under the impression, and it turns out I'm wrong, at least according to this call. I always thought that if you extended the ball and it crossed, obviously, like at the goal line's different.
Yeah.
But if you're a receiver and you catch the ball, right, you get it at forward progress. But if you purposely move backwards, so if you catch the ball at the 10 and then you start running backwards to the 6, you don't get it at the 10.
Correct.
So he had it. He reaches it out, but then brought it back. It was under my impression that he gets the ball where he goes down.
Yeah, they gave him the ball forward, or they gave him the ball where he stretched it out to.
I still
don't really get it.
I still don't quite understand this, if they botched that call or not, but that one made zero sense to me, because that is not a goal line type of situation. Where you extend the ball, you have to be down, and he was not down. He reached out over the marker, brought it back, and then got tackled. I thought the ball should have been where he got tackled.
That's part of the script, Jason.
I guess.
It's fixed.
And by the way, again, for the people saying, like, with soccer, that the goal line technology, what people don't understand is it's not where the ball crosses. It's does it cross while you're down. It does nothing to prove that the chip in the ball, that the ball crossed the goal line. Great. It crossed the goal line. Where is his knee? So it's
well, put a chip in his knee.
And his butt and his shoe and everything else.
That's right.
There's so much more that goes into this chipping the ball thing. Dude, if people want to look into it, there's a bunch of articles that are out there about it that explain why there is not some magic bullet for a chip in the ball, which everyone seems to think that
there should be.
Well, there's not. It doesn't exist.
Well, there should be. Why are you so angry about this?
Because I just...
You're anti-chip.
So many people yell and scream about this.
It should be available.
It's just...
The stupid NFL needs to get with the times.
But we always bring up tennis and we bring up soccer, and they're completely different things. Because they're the human element of when was he down versus when ball crossed doesn't exist.
You're the no fun police.
I'm the reasonable police.
You really aren't.
Except when it comes to hip thrusting. You can't hip thrust.
And last but not least, we had a third down do-over, and that got Zach Taylor really fired.
I don't blame him on that one, but...
But Cincinnati ultimately got the 9th down stop, so...
It did, but it cost him a timeout, and it cost him some extra time on the clock.
So the explanation of that, if you never got... Now, these are all leftovers from... last weekend, so forgive us if you've already gotten to the bottom of this. But the explanation is this. On the previous play, there was an incomplete pass.
Yes.
They spotted the ball, but the line judge came in and re-spotted the ball because the spot was off.
Mm-hmm.
They have to reset the play clock and the game clock started running. So it should not have started running because there was an incomplete pass on the previous play. So the field judge noticed that. And he was coming in to shut the play down so that they get the clock fixed, but nobody heard him. He was way up. Have you seen the video?
Yeah,
he was way up there, and he was little fat body was running in. And
it's right at, I mean, it's.
He was not.
It's right there.
And he wasn't really waving.
Yeah.
You know, you know how sometimes they're waving their arms and flailing around. Nobody saw him.
They call him, one of the NFL guys that I listen to, he likes to call them the waddlers. He hates the NFL officials because he thinks they're fat and out of shape. So he calls,
some of them are.
Yeah, and he calls them the waddlers, and he believes that there's no place for waddlers in the game. You should be able to, have to move a little bit.
I tend to agree.
Yeah, so he does. He's a waddler, and he comes in, and it's right on the very edge. And who was it? It might have been, who's one of the, like Dean Blandino. I heard him talking about this, and I thought he made a really good point. And he said, there was like 10 minutes left in the fourth quarter, and it was about a 7 to 8 second difference.
Yeah.
And he said, you have to have some common sense as an official and eat your whistle. He said, if there's a minute and a half left, yes, those 7 to 8 seconds are important.
Because nobody would have noticed it otherwise.
Yes. And he said, the last thing you want to do as an official is jump in. And he said, if you notice it, like before the ball is being snapped, I get it. You blow it. But he goes, once you realize the ball is getting snapped, eat your whistle. And he said, the 8 seconds that you're going to lose is not worth stopping that play and certainly going off of having that redo in a mess. That he called out the official and he said that was poor common sense. Mm. He said it just wasn't a crucial enough thing. And he said, you get too many officials that try to be 100% letter of the law. And he said, that's fine. And when you get down to the nitty gritty, but with that much time left, he goes, you let the play run.
But that doesn't explain why they huddled up and then, because they talked about it.
They talked about it.
So because they let the play run.
Yep.
The play happened.
No one noticed.
So they could have just, and they huddled, yep. And the guy told him, hey, the clock was running. We need, but they could have easily on the field just said, don't worry about it. The play's over. Right.
I guess,
why didn't they do that?
I guess the argument would be, did anyone hear the whistle and did any player stop? And I think the fear would be if you said we're just going to let it run and you had someone say, well, a corner or something said, well, I heard it and I stopped. I guess that's maybe why, but there was no reason to redo that down.
Also, why can't you, and I'm just thinking out loud here, can't you just put the time back on the clock after the play? It was a clock operator error.
Yeah, you probably could have.
Let the play stand and add 8 seconds and then punt.
That does seem like that would have been a much better way to handle that. Because I have seen, I mean, they have added time back on the clock before. Yeah. That.
So they screwed that up.
That does seem like a much better explanation. Yes, it was really poor. It's such bad optics in a big game like that to essentially give a team another crack at that. It's all bad. Right. And it didn't end up having a huge impact on the game.
No.
You know, well, luckily, but
8 seconds for Cincy.
Kansas City. It cost a timeout and gave him another set of downs.
Eight seconds would have been big at the end of the game.
Yeah, absolutely.
Barry. Goonies Dead Fish Guy. You guys seen this story yet?
Dead Fish Guy.
Yeah, that's next on In the News. Here is Schultz.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
Brought to you by the Alien Sportsbook.
On 1080 The Fan.
All right, Buck's probably getting hammered right now. Getting ready to go get his kid from daycare.
It's just the weirdest.
It's his birthday. Happy birthday, Buck.
Yes, it's just a weird. It's a weird way to do things on your birthday. You would think if you didn't want your kid, you wouldn't have your kid in the evening time. Like they had someone watch their kid in the day, and then they went.
It's the daycare.
The daycare.
They don't have a babysitter. I explained all this to you already.
Yeah, it's odd.
You pay attention over there.
It's odd. It's a weird setup.
Well, it's his birthday, and in for him is Jordan Schultz, our friend.
Yes.
It is February 3rd, 2023. Time now for In the News. I'm your noted and carbon neutral newsman. Did you see ESPN at all today?
Yeah. What was?
Well, they were doing this morning. And I turned it on and instantly regretted it because they were pushing this 2/3/23 Michael Jordan Day.
Oh,
did you see any of that?
No, but that makes sense. I mean, February 2nd. You know, that's
February 3rd.
February 3rd. Yeah.
So 2/3/23.
Yeah.
I mean. That's kind of dumb.
It's like May the 4th be with you day, right? May the 4th.
It's just dumb. It's just not creative. Like, who cares? Like, what? You're just creating Michael Jordan Day?
I guess. I did see a lot of... I did see on my Twitter... That makes sense, because on my Twitter timeline, there was a lot of Jordan stuff.
They were trying to force that down our throats, and it just didn't work.
Okay, well...
I turned it off, Jace.
Well, I... Do we not recognize Michael's greatness?
I drew a line in the sand.
Is that where we're... I don't know. Last time I checked, Michael's pretty good. Is this Jordan's attempt, like, because now that LeBron's getting ready to break the scoring record, now Jordan's going to try to throw his hat in the ring, and he's got to get himself out there?
Well, why would ESPN do that, then?
I don't know. Maybe ESPN hates LeBron. I couldn't tell you. Skip Bayless style.
He's probably already got a day on the calendar, like in Chicago, right? So now this is just like, oh, nationwide, Michael Jordan Day. That's unnecessary.
I did see that...
I thought it was stupid.
I did see his house is still for sale for, like, the last 15 years in Chicago. He still hasn't sold that thing.
15 years?
It's been for sale for years and years and years. He's got the most ridiculous mansion in the suburbs of Chicago.
Wow.
And it's ridiculous, but it's... Like, no one would buy it. It's
why?
Because you're not Michael Jordan.
So it's got a bunch of... It's all, like...
It's all...
23...
Yes. The gate in front... has 23. Oh. The basketball court inside has the Jumpman logo and his kid's name on it. It's the nicest but also tackiest customized house of all time.
Well, maybe LeBron should buy it. He wears 23.
No, he wears 6 now.
Well, he used to.
It's really weird. I saw that's still for sale, and he has tried to sell that thing, you know, for years now, and no one wants to buy it.
Maybe Mitch Richmond can buy it.
Oh, there you go. Just find other 23s.
Yeah.
Might be in his price range now.
Who are the other famous 23s? Yeah. So how much you say it's...
I don't know. He's dropped the price multiple times, and it still hasn't sold.
It started at 29. It's been on the market for like 11 years, I think. This is the 11th year. Started at 29 mil, down to just under 15, I think, right now.
Oh, wow.
So you say 11 years?
11 years.
So I told you, like a decade. And can't sell the damn thing.
Just dump it.
Well, it's affordable for us now.
Either that or, like, can you just renovate it to make it not the Michael Jordan house?
Well, right. You'd think somebody would buy it and just blow it up and, you know, those developer guys.
I don't know.
Get it all remodeled. And
it's when you look at it, it's a really cool house, but boy, is it, you got to have a very, very unique style. Look, I'd live there, but I don't have $15 million.
Didn't Pippen have a problem selling his house here?
That's a pretty common thing.
Why?
Well, because athletes buy, especially in not huge markets. People buy these extravagant houses, and then you know the market for those things is nil. You know where this is a problem is college football coaches. There was an article a couple years ago that college football coaches felt like they had to have this big house for boosters and like recruits, and they had to keep up with the Joneses. But they buy like in these small college towns, they'd buy these $3-5 million homes. And then they get fired 3 or 4 years later, and they got this monstrosity. And in a shocker, like in Des Moines, like there's not a lot of market for some $5 million, you know, craftsman. And so a lot of coaches were asking the schools to
pay for the house. All right.
And by the way, they started to do it. Gundy got his paid for. Saban got his paid for.
It's all about leverage.
Yeah. So that was like part of the deal. I was like, hey, I want to sign my new contract, but I would like you to go ahead and just pay off my house. And team started doing it.
It is International Golden Retriever Day. It is also the day the music died.
Oh, is this the crash?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Right?
This is the La Bamba crash?
Well...
Or is this Don McLean?
It's Richie Valens, right?
Richie Valens, the Big Bopper, and Buddy Holly.
Yeah.
But so is this the
Don McLean song?
So yes, that Bye Bye Miss American Pie is about that. Yeah. So my question is this the day of the song or is this the day of the crash?
It's the February day that made him shiver. You know, like from the song?
Yeah.
That's what February.
Okay. So today February 3rd. So today is the crash.
Because the music,
the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost.
They perished.
Yes. Sweet Dreams, Buddy Holly Story, La Bamba. Watch a movie sometime. The one that blew my mind is that his drunken brother in La Bamba is the drug dealer in Ozark. Completely baffled me.
Oh.
The main guy in Ozark at the beginning?
The main drug guy?
The main drug guy?
Yeah.
That's Richie Valens' brother, the drunken a-hole brother from La Bamba. Completely threw me for a loop when I found that out. Wasn't able to handle it.
I had one of those the other day. The guy from the third episode of Last of Us?
Yeah.
That's the homie from White Lotus.
White Lotus. Him and Ron Swanson.
Looks completely different.
Getting it on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, when you find it, you're like, what is happening?
He was the hotel guy
yeah.
from the first season of White Lotus. He was yeah. great in that show.
He was. He was the best part of that. And this, that episode was beautiful despite your cold-heartedness not appreciating it.
It was good. It wasn't. It didn't live up to the hype. By the way, I was going to text you a screenshot today. Somebody else said exactly how I feel about that episode on the social medias.
And he probably got killed for it.
Maybe, yeah.
It's a great episode.
Some of us are free thinkers, Jason. We don't just follow the herd like little sheep.
And by free thinker, you mean you're dead inside and you can't appreciate
it was
a beautiful, touching, apocalyptic love story.
It was fine. I thought Nick Offerman kind of overdid it, you know.
Basically, you hate the gays. That's what this boils
that
down
show,
to. I think that's what this is.
The Last of Us. I mean, Red Wedding it was not. You know, they're comparing it to the Red Wedding and all this. It's like, come on. The Red Wedding was groundbreaking. Like, not groundbreaking, but it was just like, it was shocking.
Yeah.
That wasn't shocking.
It was
cute.
It was beautiful.
It was cute.
It was beautiful.
Astoria police received a report Wednesday that a man left a dead fish on the porch of the Goonies house.
Why? Is this the neighbor that's pissed about the... You know, there's a Goonie war going on down there. The neighbor's all pissed because the dude's opening the home up to the public.
Jericho Labonte. Kind of a cool name.
Yeah.
35-year-old dude from Victoria, BC, allegedly placed stickers over the camera lenses outside and threw a dead fish on the porch. I don't know. He later returned to the house to remove the fish.
Oh, he had a little fish remorse, did
so
he?
I don't know what that's all
Is
about.
Is it illegal to throw a dead fish?
I don't know.
Is it illegal to throw a dead possum into your neighbor's yard?
I'm going to say yes because I know you've done that.
I've never done it.
Yeah. That's why you're asking.
No, I'm not.
You can't do that.
I'm just asking.
You can't throw a dead body into your neighbor's yard.
What if it's with a shovel and it just kind of...
Nope.
No.
You threw it.
I've never done it. That's
Arrest
not true.
This man.
I've never done it.
He's committing to a crime on the air.
I'm committing to a crime? I'm committing to doing it? No, I'm not. I would never, ever fling...
I mean, admitting.
...a possum into someone's yard. I'm just asking that if someone were to do that,
no,
is that a crime?
Yes. Very much so.
Good thing I didn't do it.
I know you did that.
No, I didn't.
Yes.
No. Didn't happen.
Okay, next.
Died sitting, on her side of the fence.
Sitting in traffic for just 2 hours can lead to this. A new studyfinds.org study.
Normally the studies don't make their way in the news.
I know, this one I put in there because we're all back in traffic now.
I know, Portland. It's no good. It's the one thing I miss about COVID. Traffic and parking were amazing.
So let's get to that story. We'll do that next. It is 4:49 on the Fan.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
Brought to you by the A&A Sportsbook.
On 1080 The Fan.
Hey, I can get behind this NHL All-Star Skills Challenge because they got hots out there skating.
Oh, yeah. They got the ladies.
Do they always do that?
A couple years ago, I think they started doing this where they get some of the female players. But the WNBA and NBA do this, too. Like in the, what do they call it? The Skills Challenge? They did it, and I don't know if they do that every year, but they've had it where they do like a former player, a current player, and a WNBA player from that city, and you know, they're mixing in something for the ladies there.
Tell you what,
I love lady hockey players.
I was
by gonna
the way. Say hockey hots. That's a whole nother level.
Yeah, well, that's like I find that the hockey hots, the golf hots, I give them like you get bumped up a couple points just for for playing the sport. I've always liked the hockey gals.
Yeah. All right, this is in the news for February 3rd, 2023. Michael Jordan Day, apparently.
Yeah, go MJ. It's the one day. Normally I wear, I'm a retro Jordan guy. I didn't even wear a pair of retro Jordans on Jordan Day. Didn't even know.
Some fan you are.
I guess. I was wearing them yesterday at the auto show. Does that count?
Nope.
No, because it wasn't on Jordan Day, huh?
That's right.
Day early. I'm always early, man.
A new neuroscience study is warning that sitting in traffic for just 2 hours can lead to brain damage.
What?
That's right.
That seems a bit rough. What? How does that work? Just sitting there? Like you become so enraged?
Good question. Breathing in diesel exhaust fumes is disastrous for your brain.
Well, who's to say who's to say there's diesel fumes in
traffic?
Did
we need a study for this? Well, there are. They're bound to be. Yeah, I think you'd be really lucky if you're sitting in traffic for 2 hours and there aren't any.
I mean, with the windows up and...
Man, I mean, leaks into your car, bro.
Does it? Oh, okay.
Yeah, it sure does.
So that's different than if I'm just driving, it doesn't leak in there?
Right.
I'm just mildly confused.
Well,
why.
It's not 2 hours.
But if I'm driving...
stagnant for 2 hours.
Who sits for 2 hours in traffic?
Well, it happens.
Does it?
Yes, I've sat in traffic.
When's the last time you were in traffic for 2 hours?
It's been a long time.
I was
there
say,
was a moment in San Diego where we got stuck.
Okay.
I don't know what it was. I think an accident.
And this explains your. This explains a lot about you. You
got I have brain damage.
You got the brain damage? What sort of brain damage are we talking about here?
Signs of decreased brain function can start to appear in as little as 2 hours if you're exposed to traffic pollution. The study focused on a person's functional connectivity, a measure that tests how well different brain regions interact with one another. This is the first controlled experiment to show evidence of humans showing altered brain network connectivity as a result of air pollution exposure. Hmm. See, you should care.
Am I
about air pollution?
Am I wrong in that I used to assume that literally everything that I'm doing in my life, and I mean everything, is killing me?
Well, of course, but isn't it good to actually know now?
I don't think I want to know. Like, the other day I told you that someone sent me this report about, I drink a lot of the seltzer water.
Yeah.
I got a LaCroix right here. And literally someone sent me a damn report about how there's PFAS or something in all these seltzer waters and how it's going to kill me and it leads to cancer and rats and whatnot. And now every time I go to crack one of these seltzer waters, and by the way, I got like 6 cases of it at home, I have this thought in my head. I'm like, oh, hell, I'm giving myself cancer. I don't want to know. It's everything gives me cancer.
Well, why don't you just drink water in place of the LaCroix?
Because guess what's in regular water, too? Those stupid...
All right, drink whiskey.
There you go. Everything is killing me. Everything.
That's not...
It is. Everything we're eating. And like, you like, okay, well, I'm going to eat lean meat. Well, you can't eat lean meat because it's got hormones in it. And then... You know, okay, I'm going to eat vegetables. Okay, you can't because that's have pesticides in them. And great, I'm going to, you know, the shampoo you use or the deodorant. Like, I can't, everything.
Well, luckily you don't have hair.
I got to say, it's pretty surprising that we need a study for these kinds of things to be known. Because I used to walk a lot up by PSU. There's that overpass right over Highway 405 or I-405, whatever it's called. And just the fumes that you could literally stand in there for 30 seconds just breathing in.
That's
you
right.
know this isn't good for you. And I've been waiting for something like this to come out now, but it's like, we really don't need to know this.
We know.
It's obvious.
And we can't really avoid it, so we just like Sook's sand. And you just like bury your head in the sand. Like I was walking, you know, do you ever do this when you walk through exhaust of a car where you have to like, it's really cold in the morning and it's warm, you know, it's like you're warming up your car and then you have to walk through the exhaust because the wind's blowing or whatever?
Sure.
Do you ever hold your breath through that, or do you just take a big heap in? Because I always try to avoid that.
Do you try to avoid it?
Yeah.
Look, I'm not going to say that I'm like, it's not like it's like model airplane glue where I want to get a little something off of it. But yeah, you make your effort, but I can't say that I'm like holding my breath like through a tunnel.
Yeah, see, I hold my breath.
Do you? Well, good thing that's why you're not going to die.
But I have brain damage because I sat in traffic for 2 hours. So... Can't win.
Wait till the next study comes out because you're doing something right now you're not even aware. Like that pen you're using, there's some sort of...
That's Buckley's pen. I'm getting rid of it.
There's something that's leaking into your skin through that or, you know...
That's true.
Wi-Fi will be the next thing to kill us.
Remember all the lead?
Yeah. Well, cell phones eventually. We're going to find out the cell phones. Oh, are, you know, totally. That'll be the next one. Cell phones will be the next cigarette company. We'll find out 20 years now the cell phones have been onto us the entire time, and this has slowly been giving us brain damage.
One thing that's just occurring to me about this study is, you know, Suk's asking, where's all this traffic? In Portland, we're not really affected, but these big cities, you guys telling me that like they might be a little more dumb than we think? Like L.A., yeah, New York, all that traffic?
Right. This explains Philly.
There you go. It's all that rage.
And they're all brain damage.
And I thought it was riot punch the entire time. Maybe this explains San Francisco.
Well, I got to tell you,
that city's a mess.
My wife's mom is from L.A., and she used to sit in traffic. Yeah. I couldn't believe she did this. She did this for years of her life. She would have an hour and a half to 2 hours.
Both ways
every day, Monday through Friday.
Yikes.
And she did it.
Boy, I
couldn't believe it.
That would be a huge struggle for me.
And
I
learned of all the other people that do the same thing. I'm like, because it's jam-packed.
Yeah, 4 hours a day, you just sit in
your car,
not doing
anything.
And
you know what
thing.
She would do? Smoke. She'd been sitting in there puffing away on cigarettes.
She's probably going to live to be 92, but is she still around?
We don't know. She's around.
I was going to say.
Homeless.
It's people like that end up living to be like 92.
Wow.
Like their lungs become bulletproof.
Yeah, and then they ask him, how have you lived so long? Well, sat in traffic 4 hours and smoked a pack of cigarettes a day.
Hey, don't worry, I used filters. Menthols.
All right, there's your news. February 3rd, the day the music died, 2023. Hot 5 at 5 is next. We'll have a little Super Bowl sexy time preview for our shows next week, and Joey Harrington will join us next hour on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.